Turn this morning to Psalm 78, verses 1 through 11. Praise God. Our title, as soon as my wife can get it up on the screen, is The Original Quitters. Hallelujah. With a title like that, there's got to be something behind it, you would think, and truly there is. Psalm 78, there we go, verses 1 through 11. The Original Quitters. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable, and I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known. I'm reading this slowly for a reason. And our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works. Can someone say to themselves, wonderful works? Hallelujah. Okay. We're not working too good here. There we go. That He had done, for He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't forget the works of God. Hallelujah. Verse number 8. Where am I? Verse number 9. I skipped something here. Hallelujah. Bear with me. There we go. Verse 6. That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. We're going to make reference to those who wandered the wilderness for 40 years. This is Asaph, the psalmist. This is Asaph, the worship leader of the temple, one of three men chosen to lead worship. He wrote 12 different psalms, and this is one of them. And he said, I want you to not be like your ancestors, not be like those who wandered in the desert, a generation that set not their heart right and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in His law, and forgot His works. Forgot is King James for forgot. That's not a misspelling. That's King James. And His wonders that He had showed them, or shewed them. Hallelujah. I want to think about this one thing here today. They forgot what He had done, the wonders He had shown them. Hallelujah to God. You know, as I talk to people around the country and read different things on the internet from different things I'm involved with, it's just, you know, we begin to wonder why we seem to see many Christian people falling away from the faith. People who once believed strongly, They seem to be falling away from their faith. At least ways they're falling away from church. And you begin to wonder why. They're losing out on fellowship. Fellowship is important, folks. You know, I don't know about y'all, but I rub shoulders all week long with people who do not believe in Jesus Christ. I need to fellowship with people of a like faith. I need to fellowship with people that we can look at each other and give us a high five and say, amen! Because we know that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We don't have to convince one another. We know I need that kind of fellowship. I need people who look at me in love and say, brother, did you ever think about this? Did you ever look at that? Fellowship is an important thing, but people vote, choose, decide not to be involved in fellowship. They decide not to be involved in doctrine. As soon as I say that, people go, oh, that's the problem. The church is full of doctrine. No, the church needs to be full of doctrine. It simply means teaching. We need to, dogma I'm not so sure of. Doctrine we got to have. We need to be taught the right ways of God. I have found amongst people that when the further away and the longer they stay away from truth, the more weird their thinking becomes. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever notice it on TV? As we go along, you know, I got this thing called Netflix. And the only reason I really like it is I can go back and look at stuff on TV when it wasn't so bad. But I look at what they filmed back in the 60s and 70s and compare it to today, and I say, wow, what a difference. The further and longer we stay away from God, the more carnal we become. Mark that word carnal. It's not just a religious word. Carnal translates into a man without God. That's what carnality is, a man without the influence of God. People walk away. We seem to, those of us who have been in the church, we seem to have forgotten the teachings of the three-cord rope. We are told that the three-stranded cord is stronger than being alone. How many here, don't raise your hand, but think about this. How many here have been in situations that if it wasn't for a loved one or a fellow brother or sister in the Lord, if it wasn't for them, you might not have been able to stand. If you were able to draw from their strength when your strength became weakness. That's part of the blessing of being involved in fellowship. When I'm my wife and I are a perfect example. We've been married 35, 36 years now. I'm sorry, but I forgot. Long time. In the right ballpark. Thank you. There's a man who's been married about as long as I have. I'm not going to ask you how long you've been married. You probably know. Okay. Make sure Becky don't hear this tape. I got a confession to make. My wife and I lived together for a while. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's called being a sinner. Hallelujah. We got born again. I went to the pastor and said, what do we got to do to get this thing straight? And he advised us and counseled us and led us through, and we became husband and wife, and we've been married ever since. Hallelujah. But, you know, there have been times when I've been so weak that if it wasn't for the strength of my wife, I'm pretty sure I would have given up. Or leastways, I would have seriously considered giving up and probably be taking steps towards giving up. But because of her strength, I was able to stand. And vice versa. There's been times that she struggled with some big issues. But because of my faith was strong at the moment, she could lean upon me. That's the way it should be in the whole body of Christ, not just husbands and wives. Hallelujah. And when we remove ourselves from that kind of fellowship, we remove ourselves from that kind of strength. We also, I'm talking about Christian people now, seem to have forgotten the exhortation not to forsake the gathering of yourselves together, and even more so as the day draws near, as a matter of some is, even more so. We are told as we get closer and closer to the last days, we're going to need each other more and more. Now, whether you come a place like this on a Sunday morning or maybe a Bible study like we have on Wednesday night, getting together with God's people is so, so important. Hallelujah. I've heard people say, well, what would you do if you was on an island by yourself? I could buy, but I'm not on an island by myself. So therefore, I'm going to utilize the strength, tie into the strength of my brothers and my sisters. Hallelujah. We seem to have forgotten that the devil, some have forgotten there was one, is one, and will be until Jesus throws him in the lake of fire. Amen. We seem to have forgotten the devil is like a roaring lion. He's stalking about, seeking whom he may devour. The job of the devil, I don't think the devil gets preached about enough anymore. But the job of the devil is to destroy you. Is to take you back as a trophy and show you before God and say, look what I did to your favorite Christian. Or say, devil wouldn't do that. Read the book of Job. That whole thing in the book of Job that says the devil came before God and taunted him. He says, yeah, well, have you considered Job? God says, have you considered Job? The devil says, take away his blessings, he'll curse you to your face. Hallelujah. We need these teachings. We need a common faith to stand against the wiles of the enemy, to stand against the flesh, the world, the devil. We've forgotten. I'm picking on the word forgotten because the psalmist spoke of a time when those who were well-equipped, those who were well-armed, forgot the power of God and turned and ran away. Hang on to that thought. Hallelujah. Now, Scripture does indicate, y'all think about this one, does indicate that just before the coming of the Lord, there will be a great falling away. The Bible says people will walk away. People will run away. Now, I don't know that we're in those days. I don't know if we're in those times. But I do think we're in a place where God's people, we have forgotten His words and we've forgotten His deeds. This is a reminder type sermon. And here's the reminder. What has God done for you? See, sometimes, you probably heard this from a lot of folks. If not, let me be the first. Sometimes we get so busy focusing on what we have not got yet, what God has not done thus far, what things aren't quite the way we want them to be right now, we forget what we've already had given to us. We forget what's been done for us. We have forgotten that God's been fighting our battles since the day we became born again. For me, that's 35 plus years. God has been fighting my battles. Now, you would think, I like stopping after I use the word think. You would think that after 35 years, I'd have a memory, I'd have a history saying, God did these things for me. But it's so easy to look at the world around us, look at the problems we're having, the financial, we've lost our jobs, we're having this problem, and forget what God has done. Now, I don't know about y'all, but in 35 years, our family's been through some tough financial times. But instead of thinking about the hard financial times, what I need to remember is God brought me through them every single time. Can someone say amen? God bless you and me both, Brother Bob. I heard you back there. Been there, done that, and may even have to return there. But the same God that got you through it the last 12 times will get you through it this time. He may not do it the same way, may not use the same people, may not use people at all. What would you do if you got up in the morning and you were hungry and you looked at your front yard and it was all covered with little white biscuits? Go out and get them. Enough for one day. Hallelujah. Or would you stand there complaining because you don't have quail? So if you don't know your Old Testament, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. If you don't know your Old Testament, learn it and then come back and listen to this tape. Hallelujah. You know, not only has God done so many things, and we seem to forget them, if we don't forget them, we forget to talk about them. I got to tell you something. I'm not going to preach on this part of the day, but look in the book of Revelation, and you will find an interesting little thing there. There's a battle plan. It talks about those of us who've overcome the devil standing before the throne of God. And here's the declaration, Brother Ron. I love this. They overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, I'm born again. By the word of your testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Can you comprehend for just a moment how powerful of a weapon your testimony is? Well, I'm not one of those people. I can't testify. If you had anything happen to you and you can repeat with any sense at all what happened to you, that's a testimony. You don't have to be a professional speaker. You don't have to have your, you know, dot your I's, cross your T's. I mean, listen to me. I mess up the English language all the time. Doesn't stop me. I just keep going. Either you got to get used to me or I'll get it right someday. I don't know. Hallelujah. But, you know, there's something about bragging on Jesus, because that's what testimony really is. You know, I hear people, and I'm going to get into this in a second. I'm getting wound up just to get to my next point. We talk and talk and talk and talk. I once knew the amount of numbers that people talk, but I've lost track. There are so many thousands of words that we speak. I wonder how many of them are God-centered or God-related. When's the last time you told some booger-headed heathen that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Hallelujah. So I don't know they're heathen. Tell them about Jesus. You'll find out real quick. That person, maybe someone living a sinful lifestyle that you totally disagree with, needs to hear not about a doctrinal Jesus, but about a real, living, breathing entity. I've told you this before, so I'll just say it quick. The man who thoroughly witnessed to me, not the ones who tried. The other ones told me about church, this and that, the other thing. The man who thoroughly witnessed to me, I was amazed because he sat there and told me about his best friend. And then told me his best friend's name was Jesus. That impressed me. The religious stuff, not so much. The other stuff, couldn't care less. I had all kinds of people living one way and talking another, but this man sat down and told me about his best friend. I was amazed. I wanted to know this guy's best friend. Thanks be unto God, a few weeks later, I did know his best friend. Jesus introduced himself. Just amazing how that worked out. Hallelujah. And the same man who told me about his God was blessed to be able to lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who have you told about Jesus? When it comes to communication, words and phrases change over time. You know, I was watching a movie a long time ago, and I heard a guy using a word I like. It's called a poser. Guy asked him a question. He said, well, that's quite the poser. Well, that's an old English expression. It means it poses a problem because I can't quite figure it out. But we don't use words like that anymore. We sometimes take words and give them different meanings. The only word I've seen last over the generations I've been alive is the word cool. Cool is cool now, and it was cool back in the 1950s and 60s. Anyway, don't tell you how old I am. But here's a word that is bugging me. And maybe that's what's got me going on this sermon. It's bugging me. It's the word I hear on radio and TV, I hear in conversations, totally misuses the word miracle. I'm so sick and tired of hearing that a dog lost in Hurricane Katrina found his way home, and oh my goodness, what a miracle. I want to hear about the man or woman who was dying of cancer, and God touched him from on high and healed him of cancer. That's a miracle. Amen. I hear people saying the word miracle here, a miracle. We need to tell people, you and I know about real miracles. I'm not knocking the dog coming home. Don't get mad at me saying I'm a dog hater, okay? I've got one at moments I love her. Never thought you'd hear me say that, did you? Hallelujah. Of course, you got to understand something. I own a pit bull. You either love them or give them all the room they want. No, she's a sweetheart. We, as Christians, we as believers, we have a story to tell. Hallelujah. It's not part of the overhead here, but it just popped in my mind. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, I believe it is. Jesus is talking with this crew post-resurrection. And he tells them to go and to wait. Go into Jerusalem and wait. He says, and you will receive power to become witnesses for me. First of all, let's break that down a little bit. The word witness there does not mean knocking on someone's door. Excuse me. Can I tell you about Lord Jesus Christ? That's not witnessing. Witnessing is not stopping someone in Walmart and handing them a tract and saying, can I tell you about the four laws of salvation? I'm not saying they're wrong things. No, I'm saying that's not witnessing. The word witness in the original language of the book of Acts means to become a martyr. Hello. You will receive power to die for me. You will receive power to give your life for me. That's the kind of power the church needs today. We need to have the power to walk up to someone and share our lives, share our experiences. Let's bring the word witness into a more modern term. Maybe I've had this happen once where I had to go to court to be a witness. I had seen something. As a witness in court, your only job is to tell what you have seen and what you have heard. You're not there to interpret it. You're not there to tie it into the case. You're there to simply share your experience. To witness for Jesus is to share your personal experience or experience of a loved one or experiences of someone of experience with Jesus. We have been given through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're coming up on Pentecost Sunday pretty soon. We have been given through the power, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we have been given power. Stop for a second, take a break. You shall receive power. That word power, if I'm saying it right in Greek, is dunamis, or dunamis. Dunamis, I believe it is. Dunamis is a root that we use for the word dynamite. I said that as if I grew up during the times of that TV show. I'm younger than that, not really. Dynamite is an explosive power. I was thinking about this yesterday. We went for a ride and we were going through the mountains. And it dawned on me that road I was on was not always there. And there were certain places I was on the Casey Highway over there. There were certain places that where I was going yesterday afternoon with my car was nothing but a mountain. But someone came in there with a set of drills and some dynamite and removed all the obstacles so I could have a smooth ride. We have been given the power to remove the obstacles in our lives that we can be on a straight, smooth path to living our lives for Jesus Christ. I want you all to think about that for a minute. Hallelujah. God has given us power, and we need to be willing, able, at the drop of a hat, so to speak, to share that power with someone else. Hallelujah. Now, let me get back to the miracle thing. Hallelujah. I know people, I've heard people, that really have had Holy Ghost experiences. God has done the miraculous. And when someone says something to them, they say, yeah, well, it was just good luck. Excuse me. It was not good luck. Hallelujah. I remember being in a recovery room with your wife. I love Becky. She says exactly what she thinks. Hallelujah. And she'd had all these tests, and they told her she has some kind of disease or a life-taking disease. So they decided they were going to have to open her up and whatever the procedure was. However, when they did get in there where they were looking for whatever it is they said, it was not there. You see, the problem is that the woman had had prayer. She'd been praying. She's a woman of prayer. People were praying. And the doctor got in there and went, oops. There was no disease. And when she came to, she looked at the doctor and said, where is it? She had pictures of it, x-rays. Where is it? You see, nothing bad against doctors, okay? We got people who work in healthcare, and Julia just became a nurse. And we're not knocking. My wife works in healthcare. We're not knocking that. But that's a miracle. You got the picture. You got the diagnosis. You know what's there. Open it up. Whoops. Gone. Of course, she also was a little reminiscent. She says, I just wish they'd figure that out before they cut me open. Hallelujah. That's a miracle. And one thing I know, not by myself, Becky, we haven't forgotten that. And we talk about it because that is an honest-to-God miracle. Now, if you know somebody who has a disease such as that, you can now give a testimony, say, I know a person who got prayer, and this thing, it is gone. This is documented. We have several folks in this church who had the big C. I say had, because when the doctors went to find it, it was gone. Now, either we got some pretty bad doctors, or we got a really great God. Y'all figure that out. Hallelujah. I'm not knocking the doctors. Glory unto God. I wonder why it is that God grants wonders and miracles to people and we don't tell anybody about it. Jeez. You know, there's always those great miracles of the OR, but what about miracles on the job? Now, I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands, but I'm sure if you thunk about it for just a moment, you'd be able to come up with a testimony of what God has done for you on your job. Made a place where there was no place. Kept you from getting fired. Gave you favor. What about in the street? Has God ever done anything for you at all? In the street? Driving down the road? Has a car ever barely missed you? I had a deer just barely miss me the other day. I wasn't going to hit the deer. Deer was going to hit me. I don't know if the thing was blind or had a gun sight on my little Ford pickup truck. I don't know what it was. God made something happen, and thank God I don't have no dents or dead deer. Hallelujah. What about in the schools? All you folks out there who go to school, have you ever, 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 ever seen God do a miracle in school? I have. Have you ever told anybody about it? Well, what about Walmart? There's a girl who works at Walmart. We all shop at Walmart. God does miracles every day, and we don't tell anybody. So I guess I have to ask, where have all the miracles gone? I should have looked it up. It dawned on me as I got here this morning. There actually is an Old Testament scripture where the people cried out and said, what have happened to all of our miracles? Well, I think when we look around, it would be easy to get the wrong impression that God doesn't do them anymore. But, you know, that's not true. That's not true. God does miracles today. God saves marriages. God saves bodies. God does amazing things with our children and children with your parents. God does amazing things in our bodies. He does amazing things on the job. But I don't hear about it anymore, Brother Dave. You know, every once in a while I'll get into a thing, I'll ask people for testimonies here in the church. No one has one. I used to mock him. I'm trying not to do that so much anymore. I said, oh, God hasn't done anything this week. You know, we need to have our minds focused on what God's really doing. Hallelujah. Sometimes, by focusing on what God has done in the past, helps our faith for the present. If God's done it before, He should be able to do it again. Hallelujah. Has God quit doing miracles, or do we simply forget them and continue to forget them in an ongoing fashion? Hallelujah. When God healed your body, who'd you give credit to? Dr. So-and-so? Or did you give credit to Jesus? Maybe we're afraid to look at our doctors. I've done this. My doctor thinks I'm crazy. Hallelujah. But he used to think I'm crazy. Now, I've been going to him for a long time now. And well, I go when I absolutely have to. He gets mad at me about that. But I told him, you're my second physician. My first physician is Jesus Christ. And he used to get really mad about that, but now he just goes, whatever. Yeah. But you know, there's a lot of doctors in this town, for a while anyway. They were hearing a lot of testimonies that people under their care were getting miracles. I wonder if they're still hearing it. We need to. Hallelujah. We need to be able to brag, willing to brag, prepared to brag about our God. God is great. Does that make any sense to anybody? God is great. God is good. Listen, I'm going to get some people mad, and I don't mean to be, but here's the job. Here's the deal. We brag about so many things. We brag about our sports teams. I'm not a sports person, so I don't, but if you are, and it's fine to brag about sports teams. We brag about our jobs. We brag about our kids and our spouses, and that's good.
Amen.
I mean, we're quick to talk about American Idol or some American with talent or who's dancing with the stars. Now, if you watch that stuff, I'm not knocking that, but I'm thinking that if we're going to talk, I hear him on Christian radio. God help me with this. I hear him on Christian radio talking about dancing with the stars and American Idol, and it's starting to irk me. Talk about Jesus. That's what people are giving money to the station for. Oh, forgive me. I just had to get that out. We don't talk about Jesus. We can tell who's running for this and who's running for that, who's won this, who's won that. But we don't talk about Jesus. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. I can tell where my mind was when I wrote these notes. It brings it to sound like a song. It says, we don't talk about Jesus and all he's done for me. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. See, maybe we need to rebirth some of them old songs, Brother Dave. Because that's all we had back. We didn't have what we have now back when I became a Christian. All we have is a few songs that they put up to music and put some Christian words to it. We used to sit for an hour at a time sing that song. My soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. We'd sing it over and over and over again. We didn't have all the choices we have today. Hallelujah. Maybe we got too many choices. I don't know. Glory unto God. The psalm here, Psalm 78 we looked at, begins by commanding us to listen, O my people. Hear my teaching. I'm not going to preach a lot about church going, because I want to keep this focused on bragging on Jesus. But you got to hear it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. And unless you are homebound, I'm not thoroughly convinced that sitting before Christian television is a fulfillment of that scripture. I could be wrong. I think if you're homebound and you can't get out, and there's probably good reasons, and I'm sure it's a good ministry, that's what started out to be. Now it's become Christian entertainment. But is that really? I mean, Asaph is moved by the Holy Spirit. Yes, there was a Holy Spirit back in his day. God speaking, prophetic, oh my people, hear my teaching. You have only to read a few verses of this particular psalm to see that Asaph is recalling the disobedience of the people in the 40 years in the desert. He's crying out, he's lamenting. You went through all these hard times. You ran away, though you were well-armed and well-prepared. You ran away because you weren't listening to God. You weren't listening to the Word of God. You weren't remembering the great things that He had done. Hallelujah. Perhaps one of the problems we have, and Jesus spoke of it in the parable of the seed to the sower, perhaps we have a problem where our faith is just too shallow. And we're doing really good until some hard times come. And then we forget. We forget what God did in the old days. We forget. When I was writing this, I was my mind was going back. Some of the places I used to live and some of the places, things we went through as families and children, it was terrible, but God was with us. And God brought us through all of that. And you know what? My kids turned out pretty darn good. Shouldn't use darn in church. What beats the alternative? Hallelujah. Maybe we need to quit being so religious. I don't know. Where was I? On a rant. Hallelujah. He carries on talking about all that happened out there. Then he gets to this, what I consider a bit of a strange verse in verse 9. The men of Ephraim, though armed with bows, turned back on the day of battle. There are many metaphors talking about the church. One of them is the army of God. We have been called soldiers of the cross. A lot of military epithets there. Epithets, whatever it is. Shouldn't try to use a word I can't pronounce. I was right. I was pretty close. See, the worst part is if I hadn't pointed that out, none of you would have known. Hallelujah. There's a lot of military verbiage in the Bible. Hallelujah. Talking about us being armed. And the people were physically armed. The soldiers were capable of victory. Go back and read your Old Testament and figure this out. They could have whooped the enemy, but instead of looking at the possible victory, they begin to consider defeat. See, may I help you with your faith a little bit today? Don't even consider defeat. Don't even think about what ifs. Stand on the Word of God. If God says you can do it, you can do it. These people were well able, but instead of thinking about God, thinking about His glory, thinking about His power, thinking about His victories, they were thinking about the size of the enemy. They were a little bit like David before he was king. All the people of Israel said, "Oh, that Goliath is a big dude." David said, "Who is this guy? I'm coming in the name of the Lord." Well, chances are, between now and the end of the times, you will not have to go out and fight an army with a bow and an arrow. But you'll probably have to fight your finances. You may have to fight your health. You will have to fight the devil from now to the day you die. There's always a battle to be fought. Can I use this simile? Can I say that even though you're not armed with arrows and facing a horde of soldiers, there's a thundering horde out there that wants to destroy you. Some of it's your own emotions. Some of it's family problems. Whatever it is you face, you're like the soldiers here in Psalm 78. You are, listen to this, you are prepared. You are armed. But you're going to have to face the enemy and fight him. And in order to fight him, you're going to have to keep your mind on God. Keep your mind on His greatness. Realize it's I who fight, saith the Lord, not you. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Everything you look at, everything you're looking at today, tomorrow, in the future, is all in God's hands. Hallelujah. You see that little commercial on TV about the guy? He's standing in front of the baby thing there, and he's the little baby next to him, the talking baby for the... He's saying, "Oh, I don't know, what am I going to do about college?" And the other guy's telling him, "Don't worry about it, we'll take care of it." That little baby reminds me of God sometimes. We're standing there, we're looking at the situation, "Oh my God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to pay that? How am I going to pay?" Hey, listen, this is real, I deal with it too. How am I going to pay that bill? How am I going to do this? The answer is always the same, Jesus Christ. Our faith is in God, not just for things, but because our faith is in God, He takes care of things. See, there's an old theology out there that says, "Well, God is God will give me this and God will give me that." But why? God takes care of you because He loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Move along. Praise God. They were well armed, but in the moment of testing, they were overcome by fear. Chances are, during the dress parade, do you ever see the military? I like watching that stuff. They're marching through a certain cadence, spinning their guns around. These guys probably look pretty good. When it comes time to actually do battle, they fell apart. I could compare that to Christianity. We can look really good on Sunday morning parade. We can look really good when it comes time to do something within the sight of the church. But when it comes time to fight the devil, when it comes time to fight the world and the flesh, sometimes we don't fare too well. So sometimes we're so busy. What was that? Oh, yeah, they have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You can have the form of being an army, but you're not going to find out how good you are until there's a war. Amen? Hallelujah. We need to be more warriors than marchers. Glory unto God. It seems that these folks here, as good as they were, the only weapon they used that day was the cloud of dust that they rose when they ran away. Church, Christians aren't supposed to run away. Matter of fact, one preacher actually called these guys the original quitters. That's where I got my title from. They're the ones who gave up. What an indictment. Can you imagine that? That's the only thing you're remembered for. You're the one who quit. Hallelujah. The Ephraimites lived on. Matter of fact, they're alive today. The same folks that got all of the bows and arrows. You know, they come into the congregation and they look just so and they talk just so. Even got the right words. Do you ever notice that military people use a whole different language? So do Christians. I don't know what they call it in the military, but we call it Christianese. Hallelujah. We talk about that here every once in a while. We use a bunch of words. We look good. You know, we can quote a scripture here and there, probably know a song here and there. We can give a little bit here and there. I said a little bit. Hallelujah. And yet, mixed in the rank and file of the true believers are the cowards. Strong word. There are those you just know who will stand no matter what. And there are those who will run away every time the devil says boo. God doesn't condemn all that, but he wants to change it. God wants us all, say all, all. He wants us all to be a threat to the devil. God wants us to be able to look at the devil, stand toe-to-toe and eyeball-to-eyeball, and when the devil yells boo, yell boo back and make the devil run away. That only happens when our faith is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be secure in your Sunday school teaching. It can't be secure in your Sunday morning experience. You have got to be secure in Jesus if you're going to stand against the enemy. Hallelujah to God. You know, I can look real fine in church on a Sunday morning, hymn book in one hand, Bible in the other. But let the hot ray of temptation, I borrowed that expression from somebody, the hot rays of temptation come upon me and I just might buckle. What I got on the outside doesn't make much difference, brother. You know, I could wear a three-piece suit. I quit doing that a long time ago. I could dress a certain way and act a certain. Trust me, I can do legalism. I did it for a long time. Okay, I almost had it down perfected. But it didn't make me any stronger to obey a rule. What made me stronger is when I started following heart after Jesus Christ. God, I'm blowing this day after day. We talked about this Wednesday night. I just can't seem to get it right, but I'm going towards Him. One of the great things of King David, David was a rascal. I mean, you read about David. David was a thoroughbred rascal. I mean, who else would have an affair and then send the woman's husband out to get killed, who happened to be your best friend anyway? You send him out. He did all kinds of crazy things. And yet God said, he's a man after my own heart. That can throw you. Until you start to look at King David, and before he was a king, one thing David had was a heart after God. He knew how to repent. He knew how to break down before God and cry. Not because he got caught. I think most people are sorry they get caught. David's sorry he did it. But he still did it. Church, no one's asking you to be perfect. What we are being told to do by God is allow him to make us perfect. Hallelujah. You can obey all the rules you want. And still split hell wide open, actually. Hallelujah. I said this to you a few weeks ago, but say it again. When you surrender to God, you have no need to surrender to anything else. If you surrender to God, you don't have to surrender to pornography, to dishonesty, to lying, to fighting, to road rage, to kind of covers a lot of stuff. I don't have to surrender that if I'm surrendered to God. Turn quickly or follow with me if I can find it, Colossians chapter 3. This is a sermon in itself, but I promise just to quote it and move on. Apostle Paul says, lie not one to another. He's writing to an actual, by the way, the book of Colossians is written to real people, the church of Colossae. They were real people with real struggles. Most of Paul's writings were correctings. He was apostle. He was setting his own. He was the governor type. Okay? That was his gift. Lie not one to another. He's talking to the church, the Christians, the born-again, tongue-talking believers. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. That's all I'm going to quote out of that. There's a transformation, a metamorphosis, if I could use that word, that is happening as we surrender to God, as we seek God. Another old song, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. We're going to God with all this old man stuff. Putting off the old man is a continuous process. The old man, the carnal man, the man without God, that's going away. And should be being replaced by a new man, the Christ man. Old Adam should be going away. New Adam should be coming into his own power. But it's a process that you and I have very little over other than to cooperate with it. Because it's something, I cannot be Christ-like. Sorry, folks. Fell from hero status there. I cannot be Christ-like on my own. But as I take my weaknesses to God, as I cry before Him, say, God, I'm just, here I am. Hallelujah. Long time ago, I seen one of these little precious moment things. Just kind of cute. They're cute to begin with. They show the little guy there with the tear coming down. And the thing says, here I am again, Lord. Or, Lord, it's me again. Something to that effect. You know, I'm really not so sure that God's impressed when we go to Him and tell Him of our accomplishments. You know, like the guy in the Bible. Oh, God, I'm glad I'm not like that guy over there. I tithe all the time. Meanwhile, the other guys are there. Oh, God, forgive me. I think, according to that scripture and other things I've learned about God, I think God is more impressed, if He can be impressed, with the brokenness. Him of a humble and contrite spirit to this man. See, when we can come to God and not brag about how good we are, hallelujah, not brag about how righteous we are. Without Him, we're not good or righteous. Without Him, we're good for nothing. Hallelujah. Fodder for the fuels of hell, the fires of hell. The process, the calling, the program that God has laid out for us is to change us from what we were to what He wants us to be. I can tell everyone now, listening on the internet, listening here in this church, I can tell you God's will for your life. Now, I'm going to explain that before I tell you, you're all looking at me crazy, and you should. I'm going to tell you the will for your life, to be made in the image and likeness of His own dear Son. There's a lot of people make a living prophesying different things. I'm not against prophecy. I love the gift. But I'm not so interested in what someone's telling me I'm supposed to do in the next couple of years. I know what I'm supposed to be like before I die. I'm to be more like Christ than the day I got born again. And that doesn't come through rules and regulations. That doesn't come from following it. Believe me, I know about it. We were so legalistic, our rules had rules to them. Hallelujah. But it's so freeing to realize that God is doing this without us. Hallelujah. I think the reason that why many Christians today surrender so easily to temptation is that we've really never learned how to surrender to God. Hallelujah. Now that, you say, well, why would you say that? I'm just saying. Just saying. Hallelujah. Many, but not all, of the people who come for counseling that I deal with, struggling with the fact that they've never really understood how to die to their own purpose and to live for God's purpose. Most people who come to me for Christian counseling, they just want someone to prop up self. Self can't be propped up. Self needs to be hung on a cross. That's something God has to do for you. Hallelujah. If you've never done any counseling or been in any counseling, One of the first lines I hear in counseling, I wish someone would tell my husband he's supposed to fill in the blanks. I'm not that guy. If you've ever had counsel for me, I don't counsel that way. I don't counsel. I'm more what they call nuthetic. Nuthetic counsel is a form of counseling. It says, here's your problem. Stop doing it. Let me help you with that. Hallelujah. A lot of people don't want that kind of counsel. That's why those counselors make the big bucks, and I don't. Time and time again in counseling, it's been my personal experience to watch people slowly recognize that their problem is due to a lack of submitting to God. Hallelujah. I've had so many people. I run into people all the time. They were in counseling 20 years ago. And I'm not so sure counseling is supposed to be prophetic, but I guess it can be. And one person in particular got in my mind right now. They actually called here. They came to me 10 years ago for counsel. I sat there with their husband and wife together. I said, this is what's going to happen. If you don't do this, boom, boom, boom. Give us six things that are going to happen to them. Well, they got mad and left. I didn't prop up self enough for them. Man called me 10, 12 years later and said, you know, Pastor, I went to a lot of counselors and everything you told me happened. Well, you know, thing is, I told him again on the phone, until you quit wanting your own way, until you allow God to be in control of your life, you're going to have these struggles. He said, well, will you counsel me against it? Only if you come to church. See, I've come to a point of realizing without bringing God into the mixture, counseling is a waste of time. All you counselors listening out there, sorry. I do this for a living. I counsel for an agency without Christ in the middle of it. Doesn't work. Okay, let me try to end here. I got way too many pages of notes and not enough time up there. Hallelujah. Talk amongst yourself for a moment. I got to figure out what I want to do next here. I wish you'd hurry up over there. Hallelujah. Okay. Basically, you and I are what's known as carnal. If you were in the Wednesday night Bible study, we talked about this a bit. A carnal man, as one preacher put it, is the man without the influence of God. Okay? Think about that. It's a man or a woman who soon forgets what God has done for them and considers every problem their problem and never gives God credit for all he's done for us. Hallelujah. God fixes this, we take credit for it. God does that, we take credit for it. God does the other thing, we take credit for it. And then we wonder why, hallelujah, that God doesn't appear to be honored. Here's the problem I see in that statement I just made. If you take credit for something long enough, then you're going to have to start taking blame for it too. Are you out there? See, instead of giving God the credit, I'm not saying God takes blame, but God is in charge. He's in charge of everything. And he'll bring you through some up times, some down times to get you to where you're supposed to be. But if you keep taking credit for it, when it finally falls down, you got no one to call out to because you're in charge. You've pushed God out the door. You've shoved him out the window. And you say, well, where is God? Outside where you put him. Hallelujah. One way to remember what the Lord has done is to testify of his goodness. We're coming back to the beginning. And his greatness and his miracles. Folks in Psalm 78, they forgot what God had done. Hallelujah. You know what? I got to tell you something. I think the folks in Psalm 78 had religion. But I don't want religion. Religion's dead. Religion's a philosophy. Religion's a way of thinking. But if you got a relationship with God, you got a relationship with Jesus. Now you got something you can stand in front of the devil with. Now you got something when the doctor gives you a bad report, you can stand up and say, but my God says differently. When things are bad, and things are bad if you haven't noticed in our nation, they're pretty rough right now. And I look at that and part of what I do is government funded on my job and I think, I can't think that. When I start thinking that, I start worrying. When I start worrying, I do all kinds of crazy things. I got to look at this and say, listen, God, you brought me through the last 33, 4, 5 years, whatever it is. You're going to get me through this one too. Hallelujah. We need to be careful that our religion doesn't get in the way of our relationship. With a relationship, we grow stronger. With religion, we grow dead just like it is. Is anyone out there? You know, I got to tell you right now, I don't have to call things miracles that aren't, because I know the God of miracles. I know people. I know myself. I know things that are miracles. God bless the dog that came up from the the hurricane. I'm not marking that down in my book of miracles. It was a great thing to reunite that family with that animal, but I don't think that's a miracle. I want to talk about the miracle of God fixing a family. I want to talk about a miracle of God fixing a body. I want to think of a miracle of someone takes someone who's lunatic and fixes them, makes them sane. That's what I want to talk about. And that's what you and I know about and need to be talking about. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. Okay. I already said that. That's a different way of saying it. Closing. That's what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Two things. I want you to be able to tell someone that God is a wonder worker, and then live like He's performed a miracle in your life. Romans chapter 6. Or not. Put that over for me on your computer. Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is a pretty high calling. Pretty high calling. You want to, anybody here wants to study theology? Go home and start reading the book of Romans. Book of theology. The best book of theology I've ever studied in all my years. Hallelujah. And this is the center of it. This is the same Romans 6, 7, and 8. They're dynamite. Woo. Talks about making yourself a living sacrifice unto God. Holy, acceptable. Talks about dying and living and not wanting to do with this and wanting to do the other thing. But in the midst of it, hallelujah, in the beginning of that run, Paul says, don't give yourselves over to do wrong. Yielding your members, that's your body. As instruments, has nothing to do with music of unrighteousness. We are not to be doing those things, but we're to be doing the things of God. And finally, in Ephesians, hallelujah. I think that's a misprint. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having all to stand. Stand therefore. See, there's no magic to this, but there's power. There's no magic words, magic prayers. The apostle tells the church of Ephesus, put on the full armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Put it all on. And once you got it all on, don't back up. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. I'm sure you've all heard the expression, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Pretty much true. You got to make a stand, folks. We have got to make a stand when someone says something to be able to... Here's something we talked about on Wednesday night. It almost leads me into another sermon, which I won't preach. We got to be willing to stand up and say, no, there are absolutes in this world. I'm so tired of hearing people say, well, it's really okay. No, it's not really okay. How about the guy in, was it Louisiana? The judge suggests that you take the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments and remove them because they say God. Give me a break, somebody, please. Hallelujah. It's time you and I stood up. No matter if it's unpopular to talk about this sometimes in public places, but to stand up and say, no, God does not ordain that. God's not going to evolve and change His mind about anything. Y'all can figure out what I'm talking about with that later. I'm not supposed to make political remarks, so I won't say anything about President Obama. It was wrong in the beginning. It's still wrong today. If it's right in the beginning, it's still right today. I'm tired of the situational ethic thing. Hallelujah. Let's just close our eyes. I better stop. I feel a political rant coming on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Father, forgive me getting involved in that last part of that message there. Jesus, there's not a person sitting here, and very few listening on the internet, who doesn't have a testimony as to what God has done. Father, there are people who've overcome cancers. There's people who've overcome sugars. People who've overcome mental disease. And we're sitting back with a smile on our face, but our lips are silent. Father, I pray somehow that you would stir the people of God to share their testimony, that we would remember you by speaking aloud to other people. Father, let us not forget what you've done for us. Let us not forget the greatness. Lord, you have not changed. You still perform miracles. You still change lives. You still are God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, help me clarify my own thinking whether I'm surrendered to you or not. Am I really turning it over? Lord, if you convince me that I'm not, then help me to fall at your feet. And as I fall before you, all these other things and circumstances become immaterial. Hallelujah. Father, show me whether I'm worshiping and falling at your feet for brokenness, or whether I'm falling at the feet of my own circumstances. Father, cause me not to lie to myself. Cause me not to lie to you. But for your name's sake, let me be true to my God. Let me speak the words. Let me give the testimony. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray as we leave this place, Lord God, you would give us circumstances. Put us in places, Lord God, that where we can share our testimony, and our testimony will change people. Our testimony will change the atmosphere we work in. It will change the people that we work for. That, Lord God, our marriages will become more abundant in love and respect. That our parenting skills will become more godlike, and our ability to be a good student and a child in a home will become godlike. Father, I pray, Lord God, for a Holy Spirit boldness to stand up and say, no, that's not the way it is. This is the way it is. Father, I know that your word is an offense unto those who perish. But Lord, I do believe we need to take a little bit of responsibility to tell people about you before they perish. Let us take that seriously, Lord. Father, as we go into this sunshine day, I pray, Lord God, that the things we choose today, do today, would honor you. I pray that we would relax, we would play, we would enjoy this wonderful day you've given us, Father God, always keeping you at the center. In Jesus' precious name, always being aware that somebody might need to hear about Jesus. Can we all stand to our feet? Father, as we leave this place, I prophesy health, wealth, and prosperity. I pray the power and the glory of God fall upon us. I pray the anointing abide and increase in Jesus' name. Go in peace. Go in power. Go in victory. Amen and amen. God bless.